Good morning and welcome. I'm glad that you have made it here this morning. This morning, we finish our month-long conversation and reflection on our human relationship with our Mother Earth. We've been talking about that from a variety of perspectives, and I think quietly all month we have been talking also about courage, about the courage to notice our world just as it is, the courage to feel grief and uncertainty, the courage to take risks for each other, for the earth. You may have gotten to hear two members of our congregation the past 2 weeks talk about their spiritual and scientific understandings about our changing earth and our role in it. You've received a letter from me and a member of our congregation inviting you into the depth of our UU tradition and inviting you out into the world with our UU tradition. And that takes courage too. Today I'm inviting you into the fourth step of Joanna Macy's work, moving from gratitude first into honoring our pain for the earth through seeing new eyes, and today into going forth. Going forth sounds like a call to action, and of course it is. It is also a call to simply stepping into the world with deeper understandings and bigger hopes. It's a call to be vulnerable and courageous. A few weeks ago, Neil Ferris and I were having breakfast, and he told me a story that I wanted you to get to hear. And in the way I see the patterns of things, it connects here to this part about how we find connections in the world and understand the world differently. So I've invited Neil to tell you this story this morning so that we can add this to our collection of brightly colored puzzle pieces that we make into a new pattern. Neil.
Good morning. Do black lives matter? Turns out I raised that question in 1965, when I was minister of the UU Church in Meadville, Pennsylvania, and I was also vice president of the local chapter of the NAACP. So I knew some black people pretty well in those days there. Now, after my colleague Jim Reeb was killed in Selma, Alabama, I was invited to participate in the a black church, a service in a black church in Meadville. Now, it may come as some surprise to you to hear me say that I don't really have a reputation of being a charismatic preacher. I'm not well known to be demonstrative. You're surprised to hear that. But special occasions sometimes call for special performances, I guess. And I felt called to preach. And so I talked about how ironic and how shameful it is that it takes the murder of a white minister to wake up some people who had been sleeping up to that point. And as I was talking about this, I was getting response. I heard, yeah, amen. And I would say, sleeping, yeah. Too comfortably sleeping, amen, and so on. Tell it, Reverend. So I said it best I could. What about all those black people, I said? Terribly mistreated. Yeah, for so long. Amen. Beaten. Yeah. Even killed. Yeah. And those beautiful little black girls blown up in their church in Birmingham. What does it take to wake people up? I said, amen, they said. So yeah, I kind of got carried away there. As I asked the rhetorical questions, and each time they responded, and that gave me encouragement, and I really kind of got into it there. I was a preacher that one time. Because they had asked me to respond to Jim's death, and I kept asking myself out loud, what about all those black lives? That was 50 years ago. 50 years ago. When we were there together and we believed that a corner had been turned, finally, after all those years, and we were all finally heading toward the promised land. When all God's children would be treated as God's children. 50 years. What about now, after 50 years? Seems like there's still more corners to turn. Amen. How long, O Lord, how long? Until all lives matter.
The reading I have for you this morning is, in fact, slipped into your order of service. It is Joanna Macy's Vows for Going Forth. Joanna Macy leads workshops for people all the time to engage in these four steps of the process, to lead people into engaging where they find their work in the world. And after leading one of these workshops, she came up with these vows. I vow to myself and to each of you to commit myself daily to the healing of our world and the welfare of all beings. To live on earth more lightly and less violently in the food, products, and energy I consume. To draw strength and guidance from the living earth, the ancestors, the future generations, and my brothers and sisters of all species. To support others in our work for the world, and this is an important one, and to ask for help when I need it. To pursue a daily practice that clarifies my mind, strengthens my heart, and supports me in observing these vows. I notice that a few of the words in this set of vows match up with our unison benediction. So you may not feel prepared to take these vows, but I wanted you to have them, maybe leave them in your coat pocket. Reread them. Think about what they would mean for you to make and to live. And maybe later this spring we'll have a chance to think about if some people want to make these vows and talk about what it means to actually live into them. May or may not be time for this piece of the puzzle in your life. and you can decide how the pieces are fitting together for you. I'll start with a story that I heard on the radio yesterday. Harry, you will appreciate this story. It's a story about some researchers doing research on mice, which is always, you worry a little bit about what they're going to do and who thinks up these experiments. But this one works out all right for the mice. But it's a water test. They put mice in water and see how long they swim around trying to get out of the water. And it turns out that your average mouse swims around for 4 minutes before the mouse just decides that they're not going to find a way out of the water and just sort of floats there in the water waiting for something to change. And the researchers call this moment when they sort of give up and just float behavioral despair, which I thought was a useful phrase for us all to know about. Well, then they fed some other mice some probiotics. I'm not sure if they gave them little bowls of yogurt or what, but they fed some mice some probiotics and then did the water test again. I think they fed them probiotics for a little while, you know, a week or two, and then they put the mice in the water again, and these mice just kept swimming and swimming and swimming and searching for a way out of the water, much longer than the mice who hadn't been fed yogurt. So there's something about getting that sort of friendly bacteria that causes the mind to work differently, at least in mice. And they've done preliminary research, not a water test, you'll be glad to hear, on humans, and discovered that actually human minds have some similar responses to getting to eating friendly bacteria. So we'll turn this into a metaphor because you don't want to stay too close to the literal part of that story. So I think we're in a culture that's mostly in behavioral despair. We're mostly sort of hanging here, waiting for something to get better, for some way out. And we can't see it, so we're just kind of waiting. So metaphorically, how do we feed ourselves some of that friendly bacteria or that substance that isn't immediately obvious that it's going to support us being more persistent and more hopeful and more creative and thinking that more is possible? Well, I have found in my own life the same thing that Joanna Macy has found, the same thing that Martin Luther King found, the same thing that Gandhi found, the same thing that Mother Teresa found, which is that, in fact, to have a really deep spiritual practice of my own and a community of people with whom I share a sense of both that practice and that longing for more, that seems to be that probiotic. Probiotic, of course, meaning pro-life. That gives people the persistence and the possibility to go forth, to keep trying, to keep finding, to be engaged for much longer than your average mouse. So when we get to the fourth stage of Joanna Macy's spiral of the work, as she calls it, spiral meaning that we'll go right back around to the beginning again shortly, back to gratitude. If we're talking about the spiral of the work and going forth, it needs to be grounded, deeply grounded, to be able to actually do the going forth and not just float. I have to say, I don't recommend signing up for the online meditation class. That is how I have been resolving this problem for myself recently. It's much better with other humans. So in the near future, we're going to have someone come from Aryaloka on Sunday mornings and offer a meditation class here after our morning worship. We're still seeing some hands waving in the back. It is, of course, taking longer to figure out the details for that than I wanted it to. And I wanted to read to you Joanna Macy's words about this going forth. The truth is that all aspects of the current crisis reflect the same mistake: setting ourselves apart, using others for our gain. So to heal one aspect heals the others as well. Just find what you love to work on and take joy in that. Never try to do it alone. Link up with others. You'll spark each other's ideas and sustain each other's energy. Her idea of setting ourselves apart is something that we do mostly unconsciously. We think that we are separate. And we've told some of those stories this morning of noticing that we are not separate. Noticing that the simplest thing connects us to other parts of life. And just remember those mice. You are more connected than you consciously recognize. All the time, you are much more connected than you consciously recognize. So our work as a community is to help each other remember that and get back to it and allow it to give us energy for going forth. The other part of setting ourselves apart is our tendency to be self-sufficient. In New England, in a snowstorm, that's an important word, I know. But the truth is that we wouldn't have our lives at all if it weren't for the sun that is glowing up there behind the clouds now. Nothing we have would exist without that. So we owe every moment of our lives to the sun, the water, and probably those little probiotics that are floating around. So to remember every chance you get that your life depends entirely on the other lives on this planet, most of which we can't even see. Your life is utterly and completely dependent on other lives. Some of those lives you can see sitting around you right now. So we can remember that we need each other and we can be vulnerable to each other, that we can have the courage to depend on each other. It takes a long time to shift those ideas, and those are the ones that will make the change we want in the world. Those are the ones that will solve what Einstein described as: you cannot solve a problem with the same thinking that created it. So if we want things to be different, we have to think a little differently on those most fundamental levels. So let me read you Joanna Macy's words one more time before we sing our closing hymn. The truth is that all aspects of the current crisis reflect the same mistake: setting ourselves apart and using others for our gain. To heal one aspect helps heal the others as well. Just find what you love to work on and take joy in that. Never try to do it alone. Link up with others. You'll spark each other's ideas and sustain each other's energy.